good to be back. Seems like, oh, thank you. Nice when your mother-in-law likes you to be coming back. That's good. Shows you're doing something right. Seems like I've been away for ages, but it's been good. You guys have blessed me this morning. The worship was great. Somebody prayed with me. Somebody spoke over me. I've had a word explaining a vision that I've had. And I've been blessed. That's what church is all about. It's not just me standing up here preaching to you guys, although I have the honor of doing that. It's about ministering one to another. It's about helping each other out. And you guys have blessed me this morning. You've helped point out some issues in my heart that I'm going to work through. You don't believe this, but I got fear, insecurity, and inadequacy in my heart this morning. And that's nae like me. But it was there. Eh? No, it's not. I speak against that. It's a lie. It's not the truth, but you know what, guys? It's what's in my heart. So, and that's perfect, because that is exactly what I'm going to be preaching about this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much that we're here, but I thank you so much that you're here. We know that you're in us, you're with us. That's what your word says. Your word says you will never leave us nor forsake us. Your word says where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. You know, I know that you're here all the time, Lord, but there's something special about when two or three are gathered. Amen. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the assurance of your presence. I thank you that we've been blessed by worship, been blessed by fellowship. And now I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for the truths that are held within. I just pray that every heart this morning is receptive to this word. Every ear is open to hear and understand, so that that incorruptible seed can get deep in our hearts and bear that fruit 30, 60, 100-fold that we so desire. Hallelujah. Amen. Awesome. I'm going to start a new series this week. You know what, folks? It's going to be one of the most important ones I've ever done. For this season, it's what the Lord wants me to preach. Stuart prayed over me this morning. I'm anointed to preach this word. And you know what? This is not arrogance. You know what, guys? You're blessed to be here to hear it. Hallelujah. You are blessed to be here to hear this. Amen. You ever get a time when God speaks to you about the same thing again and again and again? It's awesome, isn't it? It's been like that for me the last couple of weeks. I've been away a lot. Went away a week past Monday, was it? Came back on this Wednesday night. So I've been away for about 10 days. Some of it was work. Some of it was a wee holiday. Some of it was at a conference. Got some great teaching from an awesome teacher. I think that's where that wee bit of inferiority came in. Because this guy was awesome. But you know what? For this time, this place, you've got me. And that's what you need. Amen. Done a lot of driving when I was working. A public transport. You know when they cancel a train? Just cancel a train. Oh, I'm in Aberdeen, I've got to be in York. Just cancel a train. You know what? It can be a blessing if you've got the appropriate teaching that you need to listen to for that 7 hours. Isn't that a blessing? So that was being good. Just finished a series about spiritual truths versus physical facts. Now that was important. And while I'm driving, I was saying to the Lord, okay, I've done this, physical facts, yeah. Again, spiritual truths. We need to understand the spiritual truths before we can move on. What am I going to teach on next? Because with Andy up, great teaching. With Chris last week, I've had a couple of weeks off, so I've been thinking, what am I going to teach on next? And the Lord said as I was driving down, what if the folk haven't understood about your spiritual truths bit, Vic? And it was like, oh, finish that series. He said, aye, but what if they haven't understood the importance about spiritual truths? What if they haven't got some of those spiritual truths? What are you going to do? Some of them, Vic, have just not seen it. Some of them have just not heard it. They've just not understood. What are you going to do if people have not seen it, not heard it, not understood it? And then he started to speak to me in my eyes about what this series is going to be. And then he just downloaded. I just happened to have this teaching, and I knew I was going to have a hired car when I got down south, so I took some teaching with me. And I took one set that I'd listened to years and years ago, and you know, it kind of sprung out of me when I was looking through the hundreds of CDs. Well, that one. I don't need that one. Oh, I write. Yeah, God speaks in Doric as well. I write. So I just happened to have this teaching. So I started listening to it, and it's directly related to what the Lord wants me to teach on. And then Dave Feldman touched on it on Sunday when we were listening to him at Tooting Grace Fellowship. That was a good service. Arthur Mindcheese touched on it at bits in the conference. God speaking to me again. Nunzi touched on it on Thursday night. If you've not got Lessons in Love 4, by the way, get them. Plenty at the back. Good teaching. So God has been speaking to me about this teaching for couple of weeks now. Now, before I tell you what it is, I'm going to ask you some questions. Oh, no, oops, it's good. So, full church participation. Don't want anybody just sitting there not putting their hands up for anything. I'm going to ask you some questions. I want you to be really honest. And if this is you, you put your hand up. Okay? Has there ever been a time when you have been absolute? you can be replaced. But you'll probably put your hand up anyway. So, yeah. Has there ever been a time when you have been absolutely amazed and in awe in what God has done? Absolutely amazed. Amen. A lot of you. Have you ever heard a message or a sermon? Now, it wouldn't have been at MGF, but have you ever heard a message or a sermon and you just didn't get it? Too many MGF folk put their hands up there. Have you ever read the word and thought, no, don't get that verse. I just don't understand it. This is good. Have you ever felt, I'm just not seeing, or I'm just not hearing what people around me seem to be seeing and hearing? Guys, this is for you. Have you ever had an instance when you know a scripture, you know the gist of a scripture, but you just kind of remember it, and you kind of remember the chapter and verse? Have you ever been reminded by God about something that he's done in your past that you'd forgotten about? Okay. Right. You've answered these questions. You guys have been giving me great feedback over the last month or so. Vic, that preaching was great. That was wonderful. I really love it. You've got yourselves to blame. Okay. I think everybody put their hands up. For why some people put hands up for every question. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say next. I don't want you to miss this. Don't want you to misunderstand what I've said. Listen carefully. If you put your hand up, you have got a hard heart. you have got a hardened heart. What, amazed at what God does? Yes. You've got a hardened heart. Or more correctly, let me rephrase that. You've got a section or an area of your heart that has been hardened over the years. Because you don't have a completely hard heart. But you've got a section or an area of your heart that has been hardened. By answering one of those questions, and I'll take it biblically, I'll show you. You've become desensitized in some area to God and to the things of God. In some way, you've come cold or got colder to God and the things of God. Hardened heart. You might be sitting there and thinking, did he say that I've got a hard heart? Yeah. Did. Got a hard heart. That sounds to me like a really bad thing. Well, let me tell you, the biblical meaning is not really the same as the worldly meaning. If you're sitting there thinking, oh, I've got a hard heart, there's a biblical meaning for this, not a worldly meaning. If you're in the world and you say, oh, man, he's got a hard heart, cold, selfish, full of his own self-interest, unfeeling. That's what the world says about a hard heart. But it's okay, guys. That is not the biblical definition. So I'm not saying any of you is cold or selfish or unfeeling. That's not the meaning of the word here, okay? Let me also tell you, Jesus said this to his disciples. And more than once. So you're in good company. If you put your hand up, you're like a disciple. Jesus said this to his disciples, and he said it more than once. At a time, this will encourage you, at a time when the disciples were healing people and casting out demons and loving Jesus. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, Vic said I've got a hard heart. Yeah, so had the disciples when they were loving Jesus, healing the sick, and casting out demons, i.e. when they were doing the business. They still had a hardened heart. So to be told biblically that you've got a hardened heart, it's not a huge insult. It's an issue. And every single person, I think, put their hand up, or should have put their hand up if you didn't. So you can love God, you can serve God, you can be in the ministry, but you can still have a hardened heart. And it's not just me that's saying this. It's the Word of God. And I'll show you that in a minute. You may also be thinking, why is he telling me this now? Why is he having a go at me? Why does he have to have a go at me? Let me first say this. This is not to condemn you. If you've got feelings of condemnation right now, you just tell them to go, because that's not from me, that's not from God, that's from yourself or from the enemy. This is not to condemn anyone. Let me tell you, when I was studying this out and wrote out these questions, I had my hand up for every single one. So I'm with you in this. We're in this together. And the Lord reminded me this morning through people ministering to me that I've got areas of hardness in my heart. Fear is about hardness of heart. Insecurity is about hardness of heart. Inferiority is about hardness of heart. So don't feel condemned. This is going to be great. This is going to set you free. I'm not having a go at anyone. This teaching's for every single one of us. I really feel the Lord wants me to teach this right now, at this time, after the last series. Because not understanding spiritual truth is a sign of a hard heart. which is kind of where God was saying, well, what are you going to do if folk haven't got the spiritual truths out of that message, Vic? Well, if you haven't, you've had a heart, you've got a hardened heart. So we need to hear about hardened heart, how to get rid of it, how to soften it. I'm saying this because it is very, 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 very important. Nuns use a really powerful verse at her teaching on Thursday night, and I'm going to use it again. And this is really going to be the cornerstone verse for this teaching. And it's Proverbs 4:23. And it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The NLT says, guard your heart above all else, and listen to this, for it determines the course of your life. And then God speaking to me again last night, I was flicking through Facebook as you do, and somebody had put up a scripture off Joyce Meyer's website, and I don't know what verse it is, but it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Is that an important verse, or is that an important verse? That is huge. That is an awesome piece of scripture. This passage of scripture, this verse, is talking about the course of your life. It's talking about what is happening in your life right now. It's talking about the quality of your life, whether you're in abundance or not, ill or peeled. This is talking about the quality of your life. Are you happy or you're sad? Are you optimistic or pessimistic? Are you joyful or not? Are you living in abundance or not? Are you healed or not? That is the issues of life. And what determines the issues of your life? Well, it's God, of course, Vic. No, it is not. If you've been at MGF long enough, you'll know that truth. God has a will and a purpose for you in your life. And you know what? He had that in his mind, and you in his mind, before the creation of time. That is what Ephesians 1, 4, and 5 says. Before the creation of time, God had you in his mind, and he had a plan and a purpose for you. But it will not necessarily come to pass. There's a scripture where God says he wants everybody to be saved. Jesus says not everyone's going to be saved. Are God and Jesus having an argument? No. God wants everyone to be saved. It's his will for everyone to be saved. But you know what? That doesn't always come to pass. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. But if you don't cooperate or find it or have the right conditions in your heart, you might miss it. Hallelujah. If you're born again, you've got your ticket into heaven. Great. Thank you. I know where I'm going. But you can miss his abundance and his bountiful provision if you're not in his plan and in his purpose. And it's not God that determines the quality of your life, the issues of your life. Look back at that verse. What determines the issues of your life, the quality of your life? Guys, it is you and your heart. Your heart. This is a powerful verse. This is a crazy verse. You know, some verses that are just, oh, you could meditate on that for days, weeks, months, years. That is so awesome. Your heart is important. Or rather, what is in your heart? I've had some teaching on this here. The heart, in a sense, is a combination of your spirit and your soul. In this context, your spirit is perfect. So this is not what it's talking about. It's talking about your soul here. The soulish realm, about being when your heart is said to be hard. That's your soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions. Yes, it's to do with your thoughts, but oh, it's to do with so much more. So much more. Your heart is your core belief system. Your heart is your axioms, your fundamentals, your absolutes that you believe without thinking. It is your subconscious mind in a kind of way. It is what is in your subconscious mind. My definition is, it is what you think about without thinking about it. You get that? It's what you think without thinking about it. Very trivial examples. If you say to me, Vic, Cali or County, instantly I say County. In my core belief system, my axioms, my fundamentals, I'm a County man and not a Cali man. Say to Dave, red or blue? Blue. Before you even get the question out, without even thinking, he will say blue. Trivial examples, but it is what is deep, deep inside in your belief system and what you fundamentally believe to be true. And it is what you think without thinking about it. I'm going to share something with you now. A little experiment I did last night to try and explain this thing about the heart. And I didn't plan it this way. I pounced upon them. But it really is quite powerful in highlighting what I'm talking about. I asked Nunzi and Lisa to do a little experiment for me. And they are, I mean, Lisa's not here, but Nunzi is. Nunzi's going to open her heart to you this morning. And we're going to see what's in Nancy's heart. I videoed this. I won't show you the video, but you can come and see it later. Take one for Nancy is brilliant. I'm going to let you listen to take two. What I did, I asked them to shut their eyes, and I would say two words to them, or two phrases, and I wanted them to say as quickly as possible, without thinking, which one of those two was them? You know, are you a man or a woman? Are you English or Scottish? Quickly, really quickly, answer. I wanted the answer that they would give without thinking about it. Okay? And the result is very interesting. So we'll hear Lisa first.
All right, so what I'm going to do is read out two words. And I want you to not think about it, but instantly say which one best describes you or what you think you are.
Okay.
Okay? So I'll start with some easy ones.
Yeah.
Right. So shut your eyes. Don't think of anything and just shout out which one of these best describes you, okay?
Okay.
Man or woman?
Woman.
Left or right?
Right.
Hot, cold?
Hot.
Saint or sinner?
Oh, goodness. Saint. I had to think about that, sorry. Yeah.
Blonde or brunette?
Brunette.
Tall or short?
Tall.
Old or young?
Young.
Loved or unloved?
Loved.
15 talk or 5 talk?
15 what? Oh, goodness. Okay, right, hang on.
Ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, independence, yes or no?
Yes.
Bath or shower?
Shower.
Winner or loser?
Winner.
Condemned or forgiven?
Forgiven.
Lift or stairs?
Stairs.
Book or e-reader?
Book.
Accepted or rejected?
Accepted.
There you go. That was easy. Thank you. Yep.
So, at this point, Lisa would like me to point out that when I said independence, yes or no, she thought it was whether she was independent or not. She would like to point out she will be voting no in the independence referendum. She got very worried about that.
But other votes are available.
Yes, other votes are available. So, do you see the very important point there? Lisa knew very quickly all the answers, but she had to think whether she was a saint or a sinner. Now, I either blame her dad or blame her pastor. So, there's something there. And that's one of the important questions. Loved and accepted. I'm loved, I'm accepted. That was great. She knew that instantly. Am I a saint or a sinner? What do you guys think about that? Are you instantly saying saint? Or you've still got a wee bit inside you saying, I don't really know what I am. Anyway, we'll get on to the good one now. We won't do take one. If you're very kind and come up and ask me to see it later, I'll show you take one. All right, I'll do take one. Are you okay for me to do take one? This is my lovely wife.
Okay, that's a start. So I'm going to read out two words or two statements, and you've got to, without thinking, instantly see which one is you or which best describes you. Okay? So I want you to shut your eyes, not laugh, put your hand down.
Okay.
I'm going to say two words.
Can I have an easy one start?
I'm going to do easy ones to start. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Man or woman?
Woman.
Come on. Go on, then.
Took a while.
Yeah. What? Do you mean, am I a man or woman?
Yeah, that was the question.
That was the easy one.
That was you for me. Okay. Now she's grasped the... Okay, now she's grasped the concept. We'll do take two.
Okay, so take two.
Listen very carefully.
I'm going to say two words or two statements, and you have to say instantly which one is you or which describes you best, okay, what you think you are. So shut your eyes. Here we go. Man or woman?
Woman.
Left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed.
English or Scottish?
English.
King James or NIV?
King James.
Hot or cold?
Oh, well, I'm always cold.
Blonde or brunette?
Brunette.
Liked or disliked?
Liked very much.
Yeah. Tall or short?
Tall-ish.
Old or young?
Young.
Red wine or white wine?
White at the moment.
Saint or sinner?
Saint.
Forest or Elgin?
Forest.
Independence, yes or no?
No.
Condemned or forgiven?
Forgiven.
Bath or shower?
Shower.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Pretty or plain? Okay. Lift or stairs?
Lift.
Book or e-reader?
Book.
Curry or stir fry?
Curry.
Telegraph or Guardian?
Telegraph.
Loved or unloved?
Loved.
Skirt or trousers?
Trousers.
Meat or vegetarian?
Meat.
15 talk or 5 talk?
15.
Accepted or rejected?
Oh my God.
And that's us finished.
Thanks, babe. So, thank you, Nancy, for opening your heart there. Folks, can you see the issues? Yep. Now, this is nothing Nancy's hidden. If you've been our ladies' meetings, you'll know the strongholds that Nancy is working through. We've all got strongholds in our hearts to work through. And bless Nancy for opening herself up, not being able to answer some of those questions. Not knowing is a sign of a hardened heart in that area. Now, I'm not being harsh to Nancy. She knows that. Strongholds that are holding people back because what's in their heart isn't the truth. Powerful, Nancy, thanks. The heart is important. It's what determines the course of your life. But Vic, how can you say that just by asking me a few questions? Well, it's biblical. Look up Mark 6:47 with me. The disciples are in the boat. They're in trouble. Jesus had told them to go to the other side. He'd compelled them to go to the other side, which in hindsight should have been okay, because Jesus had said, go to the other side. But anyway, they're in trouble. Mark 6, 47 to 52. Let me just find it. Mark 6, 47. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. What an absolutely amazing miracle. This is the miraculous. Jesus walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it be the Spirit and cried out. For they all knew him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So now they know it's Jesus. And now they know Jesus has been walking on the water. Yes? And he went unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Their heart was hardened. Do you see the sign of a hard heart? Is being amazed at the miracles of Jesus. That was your first question. Oh, we're all amazed at the miraculous. Well, no, we shouldn't be. Shouldn't be amazement. That should be the norm. Amazed at that miracle. Wow! Yes, you can be blessed by it. You can rejoice in it. But if we're amazed and if we're in wonder, you know, the word, and I still use it, is that's unbelievable. Anybody else here say that's unbelievable? No, because you know what's coming next. That's a sign of a hard heart. Yeah, you know now. Nobody's put a hand. No, no, I never say that, Vic. No. Amazed at what God can do. Amazed at the miraculous. It's a sign that in some kind of area in our heart, we've grown cold. We've got desensitized. We're just not expecting it when we should be expecting it. I've got down here, lots of you guys know I was at that meeting when Hannah Tarades was miraculously healed. I remember saying, that was unbelievable. Hard heart. No, it shouldn't have been unbelievable. We should have expected her to get out of that condition and be completely healed. Awesome. Turn with me a few more chapters to Mark 8, verse 17. Again, they're in a boat. What seems to happen in boats? Jesus is in it this time. 8:17. Oh, what am I doing? And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, because they're saying, we've got no bread. We've got no bread. And Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see not. And having ears, hear ye not. I mean, this isn't he's talking about the physical. Other disciples had eyes and they all had ears. He's not saying, you got ears. He's saying, are you listening? Are you understanding what you're seeing? Having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember? It was one of the questions, wasn't it? Do you not remember? When I break the 5,000 loaves, no. That would have been an easy miracle if he'd 5,000 loaves. I could have done that. When I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000. Anyway, yeah, that's next. Signs of a hard heart. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Eyes not to see? Ears not to hear, you're not understanding, you're not remembering, you're not perceiving. All questions I asked you. This passage is talking about the signs of a hardened heart. perceive, understand, see, hear, not remember. All signs of a hardening heart. And one more, go to John 12, 39 and 40. John 12, 39. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Another passage talking about hardened heart. Yes, to be absolutely correct, in this passage it's talking about unbelievers. But it's still pointing out signs of a hard heart. Not being able to understand. Not being able to see. So those questions I asked you were relevant biblical questions to see if we've got signs of hardened hearts in the fellowship. We can look at these questions and see if we're hardening our heart, or see if we're hardening our heart in certain areas. And we've all got it, if we're being completely honest, we've all got it to one extent or another. But do you know the amazing, the great, the awesome, the fantastic news? This process is completely reversible. Amen. That's where the good message comes in. This process is completely reversible. You see, and this is not to condemn anyone again, but you were the guys who had the thoughts and did the things that hardened your heart. But if you turn that around, you are the same guys that can do different things and have different thoughts and soften your heart. Completely reversible, this process. That's the good news. The bad news is you can't come out here this morning and get me to pray for your heart to be softened. I'll pray for you to start the process. And if you want that, I'm up for it. The bad news for some of you is it's going to take time and effort and diligence. Oh, shucks. Guys, here there was a catch. Guys, your heart, or the areas of your heart, hasn't been hardened overnight. It's taken a long time. And it will take us quite a long time to soften it. Next week, we'll look at how a heart is hardened. And then the week after that, we'll start looking at how we soften it. And it'll be good. Let me just expand my definition a wee bit here. Hard heart, soft heart. I'm talking about our attitudes, our thoughts, being hardened or softened towards God or the things of God, towards the spiritual. If we're hardening our hearts, we're becoming less sensitive to God in some area or another. We're turning cold towards God and the things of God in some areas. You might be able to empathize or whatever with this. You know, I know when I'm becoming less sensitive and cold towards God. You know, the iPlayer's on more, the secular books are out more. But then I know at times when I'm becoming softened and more sensitive towards God, and I'm listening to teaching, we all know what the process is like. Hardening your heart is just becoming less sensitive towards God, becoming a little bit colder, kind of pulling yourself away, maybe praying a little bit less. You know, but remember, this is not a works-orientated thing, by the way. It's very much a heart issue. So that's what this new series is going to be about. It's going to be about your heart. To make it sound a little bit better, I'm going to call it How to Soften Your Heart. Is that better? Yes. I could have called it You've Got a Hard Heart. Put a picture of me with, like, Kitchener. Was it Kitchener in the First World War? Yes. Hard heart. We'll not do that. We're going to call it How to Soften Your Heart. That's a bit more positive. Folks, you might be sitting there and thinking, this is not a good message. This is going to be a good series. This is going to be a positive series. This is a positive message because you can't change. You can. The Word says you can. You may be sitting there thinking, oh no, I've got a hard heart. Turn that around right now. Think, great, I'm going to soften my heart. I'm going to get on this journey. I'm going to get on this process, and I'm going to soften that heart. I'm going to sort out those areas. I'm going to be able to tune into him more. I'm going to be able to hear him more. I'm going to be able to understand him more. I'm going to have more quality time with Holy Spirit. I'm going to have more quality time in my word. I'm going to be changed. This is going to be great for my life. Turn it around and say that to yourselves instead of saying, I've got a hard heart. The book says I've got a hard heart. Yeah, that's a fact. But focus on the good things. This will help you progress and mature. It'll help you change in a positive way. Anyone in here just now not want to change? Anyone in here, put a hand up if you have got an absolutely perfect 100%, that is the life I want, and I've got everything. Good. So everybody kind of wants change in parts of their life. We've all got things that we need to change. There's all areas in our life, every single one of us sitting here. I want to feel loved and suffer less rejection. I don't want fear and insecurity in my life. There's two area change that we'll stand up to. You've all got areas, and you know what they are. You don't need me to point them out to you. You've all got areas of change that you want. So, what about this word hardening? Well, the word hardening is a Greek word, puruo, and it means to cover with a thick skin, to harden by covering with a callus, metaphorically to make the heart dull, to grow hard, to grow callous, to become dull, to lose the power of understanding. It's what Strong says. The picture here that the words conjure up is like the process of making a candle. So you start with a wick, and you dip it in hot wax, and you pull it out, and you let it cool, and you've got a little bit of wax. And you put it in hot wax, you take it out, you let it cool. A little bit thicker. You put it in hot wax, take it out, and let it cool. It's a process. The process of hardening your heart is not overnight. And that's going to be a problem for some people. I know it will, because I used to be there. Well, this stuff's just for Sunday morning, isn't it? You expect me to work on this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and all? You want to soften your heart? Yeah. That's the answer. No magic fix. Okay, so the heart's important. It's about the mind, will, and emotion. It's about our core belief system. So, Vic, this is just about what I know and believe. Well, yes and no. See, Nancy touched on this on Thursday night. You can know and believe something in your head, but not know and believe it in your heart. You kind of know what you're supposed to think. You kind of know what the pastor thinks you should think and say, but it's not really in your core belief system yet. You can know something on a head level, but not know it on a heart level, not have like full understanding. Nancy touched on that on Thursday. It's lovely the way God's dovetailing our teaching at the moment, because we don't prepare together. We fight all the time. We can't work on things together. Nancy's got her table upstairs, I've got my study downstairs, and when we've tried, let's work on this together. Nah. We're different ways of working, but they dovetail together. So when Nancy kind of came out with that on Thursday, I don't ask Nancy what she's going to preach on, because I want to get the blessing of it, the revelation while she's preaching. And I generally don't tell Nancy. She'll try and have a look. And she's been known to change things. But, never mind. But it's great. Anyway, good the way it's dovetailing. That, see, this is what the Lord's speaking to us about at the moment. That's what you ladies are getting at Lessons in Love. That's what we're going to have here. And it's come independently. Well, it's not. It's come from the Holy Spirit, but never mind. Nunzi spoke about what you believe in your heart is not as the same as what you know and believe in your head. It's a problem if what we've got in our core belief system is not, in a sense, our doctrine or theology. Doctrine and theology is from the head. That can be different from your core belief system. And as I was reading Mark 8, that fact jumped out at me. Let's read Mark 8 again. So Jesus says, you know, you don't, why are you bothering about the bread? Do you not understand? Have you not seen it? Your heart been hardened? You've not got ears? Then he says, when I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And then he seems to say something really silly. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? They got the answers right. How many baskets were the 5,000? Oh, it was 12. How many baskets left over with 4,000? Oh, it was 7. Why don't you understand? Can you see that? That's really important. The disciples knew the answers, but they did not understand the implication. Got the questions right, yet Jesus still says, you don't understand. Knew in their head the facts, but didn't know in their heart the implications. The Greek for understanding here is suniami. Now you have to listen to this. It says, means to get the perception with the thing perceived. To get the perception with the thing perceived. Perceived is just seeing it. Perception is about understanding. Perceived is seeing. Perception is understanding. They knew, they saw, 12 and 7. They knew that in their heads. But in their heart, they didn't know. This is a picture of the bountiful provision and overabundance of Jesus and how he wants to bless everybody in their life. He wants everybody to have an abundant life. They didn't get that. They just thought, 12 and 7. Jesus is saying, you don't understand the fullness of this. And because of that, you've got a hard heart. Awesome. The word also means set or joined together in mind. It's like, you know that phrase, you've got loads of facts, I need to join up the dots here. So you've got all the individual facts. If you join up the dots, metaphorically, you can then see the bigger picture, you can see the whole picture, you can understand what those facts are telling you. Jesus here is saying the sign of a hard heart is knowing the answer. Are you a saint or a sinner? I'm a saint. You told me last week I'm a saint. The answer, Vic, is saint. What's in your heart? Do you really believe you're a saint? Or because you still sin, which is a sign of an unrenewed mind, by the way, remember? If you're still sinning, are you thinking, I'm a sinner? If you're born again, the word says you are a saint. Yes, you sin, but you're a saint. Has your head got the answer that the pastor wants, but your heart hasn't? That's the sign of a hardened heart. And we've all got it. All got it. Disciples knew the answers, but didn't understand the implications. Powerful picture, that. Again, I'm preaching myself here. Many, many, many of us can quote word for word 1 Peter 2:24 and Isaiah 53:4 and 5, and yet still have illness in our bodies. Note up here, don't truly believe it in here yet. But guys, it's a process. I keep telling you about my asthma. I'm on like a 16th of the medication that I used to be on. My heart is softening in that area, but it's still hard to a certain extent because I still need that 1/16. I've not seen a full manifestation of that healing yet. So there must be something in my heart that's stopping that. I need to soften some kind of area. It might be my understanding about healing, but it might be something like, I don't know, acceptance, fear, inferiority, righteousness. No, it's not righteousness or forgiveness. Oh, I tell you what, I'm righteous and forgiven. I've got that sorted out. But there might be some other area in my heart that's stopping me manifesting my fully manifesting my healing. But I know 1 Peter 2:24, I know Isaiah 53:4-5, I know by his stripes I am healed. I know. But I obviously don't fully know yet in my heart. That's the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. And you guys will have some area, joy, peace, prosperity, acceptance, rejection, whatever it is. You might know the scriptures, but you don't know the scriptures in your heart. And there's a hint for you. That's one of the ways to soften your heart. Scripture! I'm on my soapbox already. It's all about the word. You can know in your head and not know in your heart. And that is because of hardness in that area, or a lack of softness, if you want me to be more positive. A lack of sensitivity towards God in that area. A lack of trust in God in that area. Today is really just an introduction to this new teaching series. I know I've gone on for a long time. That was just an introduction. I just want to make you aware of the issue. Well, make you aware of the problem. Because it is a problem. What is the first stage in solving any problem? Sorry? Recognize the problem. That is what today is all about. Recognize the problem. Anyone sitting here today saying, I do not have a hard heart, this series is nay for you. If there is anybody sitting here saying that, can I lovingly and respectfully say that you are deluded if you think you don't have a hardened heart in some area or another? Was that loving and respectful enough? Mm. Hopefully you're sitting here and saying, yeah, okay. Yeah, I see it. I see this. You've given me scriptures. You've shown me the signs. You've kind of stood up and shown yourself and your family have got hard hearts. And we're all in the same boat. So hopefully you're sitting there and saying, yeah, you know what? You're probably right. If you do, we can move on to the next stage of solving a problem. Look at me. Listen, I'm just about finished. Look up John 5, and I'll read verse 1 to 9. John 5, verse 1. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Remember I taught on this, that seems a stupid question. The guy's waiting at the place where if you get in you can be healed, and he's ill, and Jesus says, do you want to be healed? That's a powerful verse. Do you want to be healed? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. That's not my fault. Not my responsibility. Nobody here to help me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Jesus saying, Take responsibility and do something. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. See, the important thing in that verse, it doesn't say the man rose because he was up. And once he was up, he was made whole because he took responsibility and he did something. Very important. This is a passage, this is a great passage, great picture of the change process. In this case, in his case, it was ill to being healed. In our context, what we're looking at is going from a hardened heart to a softened heart. That's the change we want. Certain things must be in place before we can have change. First, you've got to recognize the need for change, which we've done. And you've got to want it. You know, if you're happy the way you are and you don't want change, no one can make you change. If you want to have a softened heart, you've got to want that change. And if you don't, you don't. It's down to you. It's your choice. Will you be healed? Will that be made whole? Jesus asked the question. It seemed, you know, to us it might seem obvious. You know, you haven't got a perfect life. Do you want change? Well, of course. It is a perfectly legitimate response to say no. Not a great one. I wouldn't recommend it. It's like in Deuteronomy, God says, do you want life or death? You should choose life. You got the option. You don't have to have change. You don't have to try and soften your heart. I tell you what, if you do, it'll be brilliant. That'll be great. It'll change your life. Secondly, are you willing to take the responsibility for this change? The ill man here makes excuses and he blames other people for his lack of change. I'm asking you today, are you willing to accept the responsibility for your change? Next week, I'm going to show you it is you and you alone that has hardened your heart. See how many of you come back. You can always get it. You can always get it on the internet if you don't feel that you want it really face to face next week. Question today is, are you willing to take the responsibility for that change? Do you believe in this instance that you're the agent for change? You know, do you believe in Proverbs 4:23? I forgot my core verse there. Proverbs 4:23. Do you really believe that it's out of your heart that comes the quality of your life? If you do, you want to change your heart. Thirdly, are you willing to do something to initiate change? Jesus says, rise and walk. The man rose and walked. He did something. He got up and made the effort. Again, I'm going to ask you today, are you willing to make the effort? Willing to put in the study? Willing to work through the teaching? Willing to listen to this again? Willing to go through the scriptures? Willing to spend time in prayer with Holy Spirit? I really need your guidance on this. Kind of, what areas of my heart do I need to be looking at, Lord? Put someone across my path to show me the areas of my heart that need to be. You know, get someone to come up and pray and get right on the button the areas of your heart that you need to look at, Vic. Do that. Are you willing to do that? Willing to see need for change, willing to take responsibility for the change, and willing to get off your backside and do it. There, can't put it any more plainer than that. Mark 6 and Mark 8, Jesus tells his disciples, you've got a hardened heart. Healing the sick, casting out demons, loving Jesus, and doing the work in the ministry, but there's still issues of a hardness of heart. If you've answered yes to any of the questions I asked at the start, you have got a hardened heart. That's a sign. Why did Jesus tell his disciples that? He told them because he loved them and he wants them to live an abundant life. And that is exactly the same as Jesus is saying to you right now. I'm telling you about this hardness of heart issue because I want you to live in abundance and I want you to have a powerful life. I want you to live in the authority that I've given you and in the power of the Holy Spirit to do wonderful things, to do awesome things, to live in abundance. That's what Jesus is saying this morning. Selfishly, I want to study this out because I want that. But as a pastor and shepherd, I want it for you guys. I want you living in power and authority, taking your rightful place in the kingdom, putting the enemy in the blooming place where he deserves, right under your feet. I want that for you. I want you to live a more holy life. I want you to live a more godly life. That's what Jesus wants as well. If you soften your heart, that will move you in that direction. That is a given. That's a truth. That's what the word says. I want to hear more from God. I want to understand more spiritual truths. I want to remember more scripture. I don't want to be amazed and use this unbelievable word when I see the miraculous happen. I want to live in the supernatural and less in the natural. I heard a preacher say recently, let me get this right, if you are not living in the supernatural, you are living in the superficial. If you are not living in the, this is the born again, spirit-filled believers. Got any in here today? Born again, spirit-filled believers. If we're not living in the supernatural, we're living in the superficial. And to get to the supernatural, the process is to soften our hearts. I want to soften my heart to move from the superficial to the supernatural. You need to ask yourselves the same question. Is that what you want? Amen.